Pastor LaRue has spoken about a series now that he's begun in the last couple, I guess he's basically taught at two regular services and the service, Tuesday noon service, on the great high priest. And he's showing us in that the authority that God is giving us both through Christ's death and through his resurrection. Because both represent an authority. See, Christ's death represents an authority. I'm not going to try to teach what Pastor LaRue's teaching, but I'm going to just extend some places and add some color that I see to it. Because in Christ's death, there's an opportunity for us to recognize that he put to death the things in our body. He put to death that old man, that part of the soul that was the old man was actually put to death. So you have a transactional right to declare that death to that thing when something tries to rise up. And because the main part of it that I see is that in the resurrection life, there's a calling forth of the new man that's within us, that resurrected life that's within us, the new nature that's within us. There's a calling forth of that new nature, and there's a fellowship and a communion that is available to us because of the resurrection. And that when God begins to deal with our hearts in an issue, I'm just kind of summarizing what he said. When God begins to deal with this in an issue, he's not dealing with the new man, the resurrected man, but he will come alongside you and deal with and enforce the power and authority of that death to the soul, to the old man. He will even do it into your body when there's an issue. Because you can see that there's a precedent for it in the resurrection life. The resurrection, the transfiguration represented a moment where he began to cause the body to transcend the old covenant. So those are the things that he's been speaking about. I just want to extend some things here to you. Hallelujah. One of my favorite scriptures, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And he made him who knew no sin to sort of be like sin, so that we could sort of be like the righteousness of God. What does the word actually say? He made him to be sin. So why? The effect of him making him to be sin. He didn't make him just like sin. He made him to be sin. So in the power of his death, sin was put to death. Because he made him to be sin. So sin was put to death upon that cross when he died, because he was sin. He was a full representation of sin. Sin was put to death on that cross. It was put to an end in that moment. We didn't have to wait. We don't have to wait for anything else. We don't even need another scripture. That one scripture tells us right there what was already put to death for us. Because when he made him to be sin, he took sin upon himself, and he died with sin on himself. And now sin had to die in that moment. Now, and anything else that we carry around with us is an old artifact we no longer have to take with us. He became sin so that we could become righteousness. There's a difference between acting like and being. We just received an offering. Okay? All of us have the ability to give. But there's a difference between giving and becoming generosity and liberality in the spirit. Becoming like him in your nature. There's a difference, because that difference means it's the difference of having to think about it and allowing something to just flow out of the character of who you are. If I have to think about what is the Jesus-like response in this situation that's facing me, I have not yet conformed to the image of Christ. Not that it's a bad thing. I mean, at least you're thinking about it, right? But the reality is he's given us a power. He's given us an authority to not just think about it, to become his righteousness, to become in his image, to become. And that authority is extended to us out of the power of the death and the power of the resurrection. See, verse 21 follows verse 17. I know that's a heavy revelation, but I'll give you a moment to absorb it. Verse 17 says, if there's any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. We see that, but then we feel something in our flesh, so we go with that. But the thing that you felt in your flesh wasn't the thing that was declared to be truth by God's word. The thing that you felt in your flesh was just the remnants of an old man, the remnants of an old order that were trying to re-sow themselves in a new place, and they don't have any authority to do so. So we can break that agreement. When we break that agreement with that old thing, we can break that agreement with that old nature. We can quit dragging that skeleton that I've talked about before back out of the grave and taking it with us. We can begin to stand up in the resurrection power that God has given us through our new nature. There's an authority he's instilling in us simply because we choose to understand that he has given us righteousness, right standing with him. We talked about peace last week, and we saw that through the scriptures. How many know that if we see Jesus doing it, it's probably something we want to do? And if we don't see Jesus doing it, it's probably something we don't necessarily need to do. But what we were able to recognize is that Jesus carried with him on his person a great peace, a peace that transcended even the storms in the nature and the places of nature. But that peace came because he had a consistent relationship with the Father. And he outlines this in John 14, 15, and 16, this relationship with Father. And he begins to speak and release and let us know that this is the place that the peace that I carry comes from. And when we see that peace comes because of this communion with the Father, that's something that we want to set up. Well, this power and authority of the resurrection has given us the access for that communion with him. The communion that we were able to experience here a few minutes ago was something that he set up and he gave us authority for. And because he gave us that authority, that communion can have there. And now we're not limited to having a place of peace that's born just out of our circumstance being perfect, but we have a place of peace because it's being born because we have the image of Christ in us, the one who is the place of peace, the one who is the Prince of Peace. He wants to turn some of our world upside down, which is an awesome thing. I'm not particularly interested in dragging along some of those things that are what I call artifacts of the past life. I don't need to drag those things around anymore. What I want to do is see him consistently being able to do what he called me and he's causing and what he's creating in this generation, in this time, and in this moment. It doesn't help you to see me operating out of something that was the old person, but it can help you if we see somebody who, and then if we all are engaged with being who he's called us to be today. Hallelujah. I don't want to meddle. But sometimes we rehearse the old man so much we forget to look for the new man. I kind of put it simple like that. We want to keep saying what the old man experienced and keep talking about what has happened to the old man instead of focusing on what the new man is actually doing. When we look towards what the new man is doing, when we look towards what the new man is accomplishing, now we can begin to resurrect and operate in the power of that resurrection. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see. Romans 6. Oh, I'm already out of time. I haven't even started. Colossians 2 tells us that we've died with him and we were buried with him. Romans 6 here, verse 4 says, or verse 3, do you not know that all have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. If we've become like him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. In other words, he put to death the old man. He put to death sin and the power of sin. Now we have something that we can scripturally go, a scriptural foundation to enforce what God is doing. We have a scriptural foundation that results in this place that, this is one of my favorite scriptures, in verse 14. The upshot of all that is, for sin shall not be master over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. You're not under law, but under grace. See, the law could not accomplish what grace was doing. That was why, matter of fact, when grace showed up on the scene in the place of in the person of Jesus Christ, when grace showed up on the scene, John the Baptist wasn't even sure that are you the one? Why? Because you're operating in grace, and we've not seen grace before. We've not seen grace before. We don't understand. I don't understand this grace. Now I see, and I know we were looking for somebody who was going to heal the sick, and you know, and make blind eyes open, and all that stuff. But we don't know, don't understand the operation of grace yet. Because grace could do things that this other couldn't. The law could only point out your sin, but it couldn't heal your sin. The law could show us sin and it show us our need for a Savior, but it couldn't be the Savior. Grace in the person of Jesus Christ came to answer all those things that the law wasn't able to take you to. Grace in the person of Jesus Christ showed up and he placed you in a new covenant, a covenant that was based in the power of the death and the power of the resurrection. That grace forever was able to put down sin so that we no longer had to respond to those things anymore, but we could have the authority within us to ride with the resurrection. I don't know why I couldn't say that, but hallelujah. To respond to the resurrection. See, the law could keep you under a certain place of condemnation. It's called the law of condemnation. But Romans 8:1 is a continuation of these thoughts. And he said, therefore, because of grace has come into your life, there's no more condemnation. But the power of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the power of sin and death. When we recognize that the power of the resurrection has set us free, the power of his glory and his grace, what it did is it opened up the place of communion for us. Because, see, what couldn't happen in the old covenant was that it was not able to open up a place of communion for you and the Father. But the grace that came through Jesus Christ, it was his expressed image and his expressed purpose to open up a fellowship for us that wasn't possible under the old covenant. In the old covenant, you had to rely on a high priest who went into the Holy of Holies on your behalf, and he only did that once a year. But guess what? He did that at the beginning of the year. And when he did that at the beginning of the year, he was setting forth a tribute for your an offering for your sin, which was going to be coming in that year. You started the year all forgiven. In the same way, Christ came and paid a price. So it's your life. Once you've accepted him, you start off forgiven even before you got there. Before you got there, you start off forgiven before you even did it. And that's not an excuse to go and do more. That's an excuse to recognize I am free. A couple weeks ago, I had just an opportunity for the briefest few minutes to just meet the Father, or meet Jesus rather, as the person of the high priest. Remember what I've been talking to you about, Hebrews 3:1, it says, consider now the high priest, Jesus, the high priest, the apostle high priest of your faith. When we consider him, sooner or later you're going to meet him. When you meet him as a high priest, I just have this to say. Number one, it sets you free of the issues that have come up out of your past. But there's another facet of meeting him as high priest that I want to release to you. I don't even have words for all of it, and maybe he'll give me words for it by next week. But when you meet him as high priest, he not only deals with the past issues, but he'll turn himself and present before you, in the forefront of you, before you get to an issue. He'll prepare your heart. Because see, one of the jobs of the high priest was to represent the will of the Father, was to consecrate the people so they could be pleasing unto him. Written across the crown on the high priest was the words, holy unto the Lord. So when you meet him and allow him to be high priest in your life, now he's in a position to present, to be presenting you holy unto the Lord. Even before you get to a situation that might make you a little less than holy, it's already been positioned. So I encourage you to just consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of your faith this week. Because as you meet the high priest, he'll not only deal with the past, but he'll go in front of you, shifting your expectation and shifting your response, shifting your reception going forward. That's really all I know how to put words to at the moment. But I can tell you it shifts how you walk. It shifts how you walk when you know the high priest has already prepared the way. Amen? God bless you. We love you. Thank you for being here. God demonstrates, Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We shall be saved by his life. We shall get to walk in an accord with him because of his life. Amen. God bless you. We love you.